This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit graftonloadingdock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's a- American
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Two things that concern me. One are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom. Number one. Number two. The second one is that, the gross misinformation that's out there.
That's a really good unifying look from the president of the United States, isn't it? Don't you just feel the unity in the air? No, that's smog. It's awful. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Listening to the president's highlights, lowlights? I don't even know. From the town hall last night. I mean, raise your hand if you knew that the president was going to have a town hall last night. Did you know, Brad? You didn't tell me. Come on, producer.
You had a video to make.
Yeah.
So
I was watching the baseball game.
I was like, listen, it's just going to be him making gaffes, and there's nothing huge going to come out of it. I'll watch it and make sure that Annie can do her thing.
Fantastic. I was watching baseball. Looked really good there until it didn't for the Atlanta Braves. So we have yet to guarantee a Georgia World Series, which I just really, really, really need in my heart and soul, which is probably the worst thing I could say out loud because... It's usually the more I invest my emotional energy into things, the less likely it is for it to happen.
Yeah, I noticed once you've taken the stand, things have not gone well.
It's my fault. I'm very apologetic. Maybe I should cheer for Joe Biden. Maybe I should really hope for some Joe Biden success here. His comments on the way he scoffs at freedom, like of all of the things that you want to turn your nose up at. The proverbial other side. It's funny that you put the people who are for freedom on the other side. You, in fact, would be correct in that assumption when you highlight that. Oh, the people on the other side, they're the ones who are talking about freedom. The freedom, in his words, to kill. I think he says, quote, with my COVID, which is a phrase I've never heard before. It's a very interesting way of putting it. He was on a roll last night. The other side, too, these people?
As many as one in three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes.
It's as if we didn't have a shortage of people who were willing to put themselves between danger and innocent individuals, that we had no problem with that. And this is a really easy way to defund the police. Just make all of them angry so they quit. It's very bizarre, but it's also a bit predictable. Here's more on the mandates.
The mandates are working. All the stuff about people leaving and people gonna, you have everyone from United Airlines to Spirit, all these airlines, we're not going to get all 96, 97% of the people have gotten the vaccine. All the talk about all these folks who are going to leave the military if they're mandated, not true. You got about a 90-some percent vaccination rate.
Here's the thing. This is the takeaway. It's not the details about what President Biden continues to say, because it continues to be head scratcher. It's a head scratcher for you and for me, likely. Even if you're on his side, even if you were pulling for him to get his agenda across the finish line, I particularly am not. I don't want to see massive government spending. I don't want to see him succeed in his effort to get this spending bill across, among many other things, the massive, expansive green energy effort that is wrapped up in this human infrastructure bill that he wants to get through. He's not capable. And it's something that we dance around, and it's something that we don't, I should say, I don't directly call out, because I'm trying to be nice. And I was listening to highlights on the way into work today from this town hall, and it occurs to me that he doesn't really get our sympathetic deference, because he is the president of the United States. He ran to be our president, and he should be held accountable of that accordingly. Because if you look at him and you see a familiar deterioration that you have noticed in your family members, if you see him and you feel like this is recognizable, I know this, I've been here before, and it makes you sad, that's fair. But what you are is you're sad for your loved one. He is still the president of the United States, and he still needs to be held accountable for his responsibilities as such. Listening to some reaction to this town hall on the way in, it's very interesting how much fact-checking his own staff, his own people were doing in the midst of this town hall, sending out clarifications and corrections and, you know, specifics about, well, this is what was said, but to be clear, and then going on to explain what the actual policy position of the administration is and was. Why does the president not speak for the administration? It's his. He's the guy who ran. He's the guy they chose. I didn't choose him to run for the Democratic nomination. I didn't choose him out of a field of however many individuals, men and women, ran for the opportunity to represent Democrats in the presidency. He wasn't my guy. He is my president. And I have more pride in country than I do in party. So do I want him to fail on behalf of the country? No, but I do want him to fail on behalf of the Democrats. I do want his Build Back Better plan to stall. And I hope that in 2022, we send a massive red wave of Republicans into Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill to stop it in its tracks, so we don't have to hem and haw and wait and see what Kyrsten Sinema is going to say or do today, or what Joe Manchin is going to say or do tomorrow in order to make sure that our country is still going to resemble itself come, you know, the next week. Here's Senator Joe Manchin.
Is there anything that was ever said that we've ever talked about? If I'm an embarrassment to my my Democrat colleagues, my caucus, the president being the Democrat, the leader of the Democrat Party, Chuck Schumer and all them, and I said, me being a moderate centrist Democrat, if that causes you a problem, let me know, and I'd switch to be an independent, but I'd still be caucusing with Democrats.
So there's the Joe Manchin explanation of where this scuttlebutt came from, with him, with it being suggested that he was going to leave the party. This would be very much so an example of, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left me. This would absolutely be a scenario where people who look at Joe Manchin and say, how could you? I mean, on today's spectrum, if you're just putting him out there with 100 other people, he's probably going to be dead center. He might even be a little center-right, comparatively speaking, just because of how wide the left has made the left flank of this spectrum go. It doesn't do anybody any good for Joe Manchin to, you know, pull all the attention onto himself right now, because what I think Joe Manchin would like to do while he's got the spotlight on him, I don't think what Joe Manchin wants to do is be the guy that everybody looks at and hates, which he teeters in his position on making the Republicans mad and making the Democrats mad all at the same time. There's probably a way he can bob and weave his way through this particular situation where the Republicans, you know, the more the Republicans are commending Joe Manchin, the less the Democrats are going to like him. You know how it feels when people would tell you, you know, like, well, at least Mitt Romney is representing the party well still. At least you still have some Republicans who have some integrity, or John McCain, or, you know, some of these other, Lisa Murkowski, but Lisa Murkowski has been elected to be Lisa Murkowski. That's who she is, and Collins as well. Like, these people represent complicated districts, and they know who they need. Just look at the last Maine Senate election. So the more that Republicans are going to praise Joe Manchin, you think that's going to make the Democrats happy? They really need to work on figuring out how they can not move Joe Manchin. They have to move the entire Democratic Party to closer to Joe Manchin. That's what he's doing right there. He'll probably compromise with them on something, but it's not going to be an energy. And this massive spending bill is centered greatly around the idea of climate change and how much they want to affect, you know, through calling things human infrastructure here. They want Joe Manchin to move from where he is. Well, where he is centered in West Virginia, which is a Trump state that continues to elect Joe Manchin. He understands what he's doing there. We're so divided. We're so separated. The president of the United States is not the guy who's running this administration, but he is the guy who needs to be. We need to be able to criticize him. We can't give Joe Biden a pass because we feel sorry for him in his mental state. If he is not mentally capable, there's the 25th Amendment. You should be familiar with it. We talked about it for 4 years when Donald Trump was the president of the United States, right? You remember that? We went over it and over it and over it again. I think Trump slept like 4 hours a night on a good night, and he was working constantly, and people would constantly be talking about invoking the 25th Amendment against him. Joe Biden said last night, I don't know if we have the sound here. Did he talk? Did you pull the sound about him talking about being in the border?
I did.
Which one is it? Because I want to play this. Is this the last one?
Cut 18.
This is the worst of it.
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down. But the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down. She's been on both sides of the river. She's seen the circumstances there. She's looked into those places. You notice you're not seeing a lot of pictures of kids lying on top of one another looks like tarps on top of them.
No, I don't know, President Biden. I don't know what you're saying. From what I understand, he's going to Delaware tonight for a weekend vacation. You could go to the border if you wanted to. You have the time. You're the president of the United States. You get to set your priorities. You get to make those decisions. You found time to campaign for the governor race in Virginia. You've found time to do a town hall with Anderson Cooper again. You find time for the things that are important to you. And every decision you make, we realize what's not important to you. The politics are important. It's probably the thing that is the most second nature to him, that he can just plug and play. He knows how to do the politicking. But he is not up to speed. He is not representing our country well. He is not paying attention to the priorities that exist here for everyday Americans with inflation, with the supply chain crisis, with the border concern, among many other things. He's not keeping up. And I'm here to tell you that we need to hold him accountable because he is a president. It's as simple as that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Kara Zupkis is going to join us. She's a spokeswoman for the Young Americas Foundation. And there was, on September 11th, a student at Washington University who removed all of the flags that had been placed by YAF there as a memorial to September 11th on the 20th anniversary. This student removed all of those flags and did it under protest. Well, there has been a development in that situation. He has been punished. And Kara is going to come talk to us about that instance in particular. And Kevin Wheeler is going to be with us right after that. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show on a Friday afternoon right around the corner. And all I choose, see, I don't
mind. And as we sit, so shall we find. This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some time with us on a Friday. Boy, it's a very fallish, autumnal Friday out there right now, and I love it. It's weird when the grass, I'm looking at the grass like near the Edward, or the St. Louis Library. The grass over there looks so thick and plush, but it's got leaves kind of scattered. It looks fake. It's like, no, it's like a Disney movie set.
But I like that. I'm a grass guy, so, but I like.
You are. This, I just entered Brad's nerddom. He's a landscaping guy, so he's probably
not,
like.
Not landscaping, just lawn care.
Lawn care. It is different. It is very different. Hope you're enjoying this afternoon. And if you're taking your lunch break with us, a reminder, you can stream us on the Odyssey app anywhere you go. So if you're headed back to work after your little lunch break, then take us with you. We would love to keep you company. Fridays are super fun here on the Annie Fry Show. This one will be no different. I want to get to our guest here. Kara Zupkis is joining us now, and she is a spokeswoman for Young Americas Foundation, YAF.org. Kara, it's a pleasure to have you on the show here. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So this story, this is a local story. We've had people from Young Americas Foundation on the show before, including Scott Walker. And we were talking about scheduling him on the show a while back while September 11th was taking place. And there was a local story that developed right here regarding a memorial that was placed by the Young Americas Foundation. I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell us, set up that story a little bit for us, about this Washington University memorial that was placed and what transpired.
Yeah, definitely. So a group of conservative college students at Washington University were participating in YAF's 9/11 Never Forget project, where they placed 2,977 American flags in commemoration of the lives lost. And they put up this display and found it vandalized not once, but twice by the same student who actually happens to be a student senator at the university. And he was actually caught on camera ripping up these flags and attempting to throw them away in trash bags.
So from what I understand, what I remember reading, that he was doing this, he stated that he was doing this in protest. Is that correct?
Yes. He claimed that he was going to later use the flags in garbage bags as his own form of protest against American imperialism and against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So there's been a development with this student, and I've found this story to be very interesting because it was the 20th anniversary, certainly, of September 11th. And at that point in time, that was right when, as a country, we were just kind of grasping for some footing because of what was taking place in Afghanistan. But meanwhile, this story is taking place right here in our backyard. Who would go desecrate a memorial on September 11th for September 11th? And in this day and age, is there any consequence that comes to somebody who is willing to do that? And so there's been a development in that part of the story. What can you report to us today about that?
Yes, so we just got word this week that a punishment was handed down to Fidel Alkalani, who is that student senator. He was given three sets of punishments. So the first is he is now on probation for the rest of his time at Washington University. So essentially, if he ever is found in violation of another offense on campus, he could either be suspended or expelled from the university. And as a part of that probation, he did lose his RA position on campus. And the other two consequences were he has to write an essay about what he did wrong and why it was wrong, and he has to pay $500 to the Washington University College Republicans.
That's interesting. And to the College Republicans, because they are the ones who placed the original memorial, is that correct?
Exactly. Yep. So there were a bunch of flags that were damaged as a part of him ripping them out of the ground and some that were thrown away. So that's just some money for them to be able to purchase some new flags and make sure that they have the memorial ready to go for next year.
We're speaking with a spokeswoman for Young America's Foundation, Kara Zupkis. Thank you, Kara, for being here. So tell me, is this a satisfactory resolution? I have to say, initially, I was pleased that something happened that indicated that this was not an acceptable behavior, but it's a pretty bold move on his part. Is the punishment here fitting the crime?
Exactly. I think it's kind of twofold. You know, we're happy to see that the school at least is doing something about this, because I think in a lot of cases, schools would really just kind of let it fall under the rug and never really give any kind of punishment. So we are happy to see that something at least is being done. However, we are still concerned that Alkalani is in his leadership position on the Student Senate Finance Committee, which is in charge of doling out millions of dollars in student organization funds. I mean, it's pretty easy to imagine him retaliating against these College Republicans or other conservative groups in the future who exposed his vandalism.
So, Kara, we'll continue to follow this and see if anything else develops from this particular instance. Like I said, I am happy that there was a consequence that was handed down, because this is unacceptable behavior, and I'm glad that we were able to act as such. But if it continues, if there's more, we'll report on it. I wanted to ask you, I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you, you know, for young Americans today, young Americans who have, I guess if you're a college-aged American and you even have kind of a moderate viewpoint of the world or perspective of the world, you're probably considered somewhat far right in on college campuses across the United States. It's not easy to be a conservative. It's definitely not easy to be an outspoken or known conservative for a lot of young people today. And I'm curious how the Young America's Foundation works to help these individuals, to help make it easier for them to be who they are and speak what they believe.
Yeah, definitely. We're really hoping to inspire and help train the next leaders and help make them become more outspoken on campuses. And we kind of do that in a few different ways, but the main ways that we do that are by students attending our conferences, where they can hear from some of their most inspiring leaders in the conservative movement, as well as having Young Americans for Freedom chapters, where they can actually host speakers on their campus, host activism projects, coordinate op-eds in student newspapers, really get the ground going for conservative movement on their campus. We're all about inspiring them and kind of just showing them that they're not alone. Even though, you know, you might be in the minority, you can be a loud minority and definitely make sure that your presence is heard on campus.
And Kara, who are some of the people, the more prominent names across the country that have supported YAF's efforts and, you know, been there to encourage these young people to continue on and adhere to their principles and their perspectives.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously one of our more bigger name allies and speakers is Ben Shapiro. We're his campus lecture sponsor. So we take him across the country and help bring him to thousands of students to hear his ideas. We're also starting in just a few weeks, actually, a campus tour with Vice President Mike Pence. He'll be speaking in Iowa and Texas. And last week, we just finished up a tour with Senator Ted Cruz and Michael Knowles. So really getting these amazing leaders in front of these students and showing them, hey, I can be just like them one day. I just need to have the courage to speak out and tell the people what I know is true in my values.
Well, Kara, we appreciate you coming on here to update us on this Washington University situation. And please, again, reach out to me if it continues to develop, because I know a lot of people will be interested in how it continues to progress.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you, Kara, so much. Good to have you here. YAF.org, if you want to check out the website. What the Young Americas Foundation is doing is very good and very needed, because it's, Brad, you work with youth. So in the context of being a youth pastor, you probably are talking about things that are difficult for kids to deal with on a regular basis as they move through life. It's one thing when it's a faith-based thing, but if it's just a morals and a values and a principles thing that, yeah, you can get your morality from your religion. Many, if not the majority of people, whatever their faith is, defines what their morals are. But you don't have to have faith particularly to understand right from wrong. And it's a very tough time to have a certain set of morals that might be derived from faith and then go out there in the world and not get trounced.
It's incredibly difficult. And that's kind of one of the main things that I have to do as a youth minister, is to partner with parents in raising their kids and getting them prepared to go out into this world. Because I know that whenever they go out into the world, they're going to get it from all angles. You know, it's like that video that we played yesterday in the pronouns and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is incredibly difficult to guide a parent through, because it's just so different than what everybody's gone through growing up. And these kids are going to have to face that. I mean, I've got kids in my youth group that are in sixth grade and they're like dealing with these issues, and they shouldn't have to be dealing with them.
Yeah. It's tough. It was tough for, I mean, we grew up specifically without the internet until we were in high school. And when the internet made its way into homes across the country, nobody knew what it was or how to use it or manipulate it. So I really feel like I didn't get the opportunity to use the internet, certainly as a necessity, but as an asset until midway through college, probably, is when it started to become. I specifically remember, let's see, I remember being at my grandparents' house, and my grandmother passed away in 2002, and my grandpa passed away in 2004. So it would have been early 2000, somewhere in between there. And I remember being over at their house, and people were saying on commercials, you know, go to http://www. And then they'd say the website, and then, you know, .com. And I just remember thinking, I wonder if someday there'll be a website on everything. Well, obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, like, people don't even have business buildings anymore in many cases. It's become all internet-based. And that's how long it's come since I've been an adult, a government-recognized adult. There's so much information out there for young people to consume. It's happening faster than anybody can possibly keep up with it. And it's a little terrifying. It's hard. I guess it'd be naive for me to say that not every generation has their version of kids these days, you know, like the things that they're growing up with you just didn't experience when you were a kid. But I think the internet is a biggie. Gotta be a biggie, right? It's tough. So the Young Americans America's Foundation, YAF.org, give them a look and support them if you're so inclined, because they're doing good things. Let's talk to Kevin Wheeler when we come back. I want to talk to him about the St. Louis lawsuit against the Rams and Stan Kroenke, because he's the worst. Makes me so mad.
Kroenke sucks.
Yeah. It's easy to chant. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Blues, who all my like super bluesy fans, because I am a Blues fan because they're our team, but I don't understand hockey like I understand other sports. You Blues fans are excited. You are pumped.
3-0 for the first time.
And just like what you're seeing, I'm gathering, you likey. So we'll talk to Kevin Wheeler about that. Plus, who's going to be the next manager for the St. Louis Cardinals? Is it going to be Carlos Beltran? I don't know. It could be. Let's talk about it with Kevin Wheeler when we come back.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Very glad to be able to say that to you. Hope you're having a good afternoon so far, and thanks for making us part of it. I want to get straight to our guest, Kevin Wheeler.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
Kevin, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for giving us some time on a Friday afternoon. We know you're busy.
Glad to do it. Always fun talking sports. You kidding me?
Of course. Yeah, you've got like the best gig ever. I'm going to start with the Blues. And I was saying, I don't know if you heard me leading into this, but I am a Blues fan. Yay, go Blues. I just don't understand hockey like I understand some other sports. I'm seeing my friends who are hockey nuts really, really loving what they're seeing right now from the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, they should be. You know, there are some things that certainly need to be better through three games, but I mean, nobody's going to argue with getting the 6 points in those three games, and especially when two of those wins are against two of the teams that are supposed to be the top two in the West. And, you know, Vegas and Colorado, by most accounts, are viewed as the top two teams, and the Blues are kind of in the group that follows that. But obviously the regular season can change that. But there are some things I think they'd like to be better at. I had a chance to talk to Bernie Federko earlier in the week, and he mentioned that, you know, they're probably going to want to tighten up the defense a little bit. They'd allowed, seven goals in the first two games. I mean, even against Vegas, they allowed 43 shots. So you probably don't want to do that on a regular basis. But, I mean, to show you what's going right, even with some of that kind of loose play defensively, even with a lot of opportunities given up to the opponents, you're 3-0, and you've found a way to score a bunch of goals in these games. So what we're seeing is the depth up front continue to be an asset. I mean, they have maybe the deepest forward group in the Western Conference with four lines that can generate offense. Obviously, the top three a little bit more than the fourth line. But, you know, they've even got guys that have been kind of in and out of the lineup so far, like James Neal. I mean, it's a guy that, you know, can routinely, when he's healthy and in his prime, was routinely a 30-goal guy. Well, he's not that anymore, but he's still a really valuable veteran contributor. And here's the stat to me of the first three games, Annie. Every player on the team in three games has either a goal or an assist except for one guy, except for James Neal. Other than that, everybody has at least one goal or one assist, or obviously some combination greater than that of both.
It sounds like the future is pretty bright. I feel like last year we were there was a lot of, you know, people were really high on the Blues, and then injuries started to creep their way in. Do we feel like a healthy unit at this point in time?
I mean, right now it is. They don't have Oscar Sundquist, who's a really important part of the team, and he'll be back at some point here in the not-too-distant future, maybe, you know, a month down the road, something along those lines, maybe a little more. But, you know, and he's a really valuable piece. But that's kind of the interesting part here, right, that they look this good without a guy that really is an important player for them. Now, he's probably a third-line player. Maybe he'll play on the fourth line when he initially comes back and gets up to speed. But, I mean, that's a really quality player who's been a massive performer in the postseason in the past for the Blues, including during the Stanley Cup run. So they're not entirely whole now. But, yeah, for the most part, they are. Brandon Saad's going to miss tomorrow night's home opener because of COVID protocol. Hmm. Obviously, another new acquisition, Pavel Buchnevich, is going to miss tomorrow as the second game of his suspension because he headbutted a dude in Arizona, which, come on, dude, got to be smarter than that. Especially in a place where you're allowed to punch people, right? I mean, just don't headbutt him. Just give him a little stinky mitt in the face or something.
Play within the rules. I completely get that. You mentioned one of those victories, St. Louis Blues over Colorado. There's nothing like beating Stan Kroenke. And I would really like to see St. Louis really, really bring this home. I want it to hurt painfully, painfully bad. And the only place that Stan Kroenke would notice it, which is his wallet. So what can you tell us about the lawsuit so far, where it sits with St. Louis? Because it seems like there's been some developments lately.
Yeah, you're getting closer to trial date. I mean, you know, you're basically, based on a lot of the legal analysis that I've read and a conversation that I had today, with Daniel Wallach, who's a sports law expert. And, you know, he's going to be that conversation I had with him is going to be in the 7 o'clock hour on Sports Open Line tonight, just kind of getting into where we are and what it means to be this far down the road. I mean, the trial set to start in January, so you're almost at the point of no return where you have to go in court and do, you know, do we see owners on the stand? You know, what information comes out publicly that hasn't been out publicly before, all of that. And where we are now is kind of in an in-between, you know, from our perspective, just kind of waiting for what's next. And interestingly, we had news yesterday, right? Yesterday, the league finally won some kind of motion, right? They had petitioned to get Bob Blitz, who is a part of the St. Louis legal team. They had petitioned to get him off the case because he may be a witness to some of the events that took place, because he was a part of the committee that was trying to put together the stadium for St. Louis to keep the Rams, right? So I talked to Daniel Wallach about that today, and we'll get the full explanation later on, but he actually said that might wind up being a good thing indirectly for St. Louis, because you'd hate to win the case and have a judgment awarded in your favor only to have a court of appeals look at it and say, well, wait a minute, you know, this guy here was a witness and he's also on the legal team. That could have caused some issues. We want to send it back for a new trial. So in his view, that might end up being a good thing for St. Louis, but we'll see. But they're in a pretty strong position. I mean, the NFL doesn't typically like to go to trial. They've settled, you know, concussion cases in the past and other things, because I think what they're most worried about is some business facts and other things, you know, kind of getting into the public eye that they don't want out there.
Yeah, the discovery could be very interesting for everybody's eyes to be paying attention to. Real quick before I switch to Cardinals, how dramatic could this get in the public view? How much will we know? And what are some possible outcomes for the city of St. Louis?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's one, you could lose, right? I mean, you could go to trial and you could lose, right? So, but if that happens, you're no worse off than you already have been, right? I mean, to me, this is really a no lose for St. Louis, because you've already lost the team, you've already lost money due to this. So that's, you know, worst case is you are where you've been the last few years. But you know, there with a win, there are a whole lot of things that could happen. I mean, there could be a judgment that only covers the actual losses that the city incurred trying to, you know, put together the stadium plan, which wouldn't be a ton of money. I think it was like $20 million or something like that. So we have anything from a judgment in favor of the team, of the city, I should say, at, you know, down there in that lower end, which really wouldn't mean much to the NFL. They'd cut that check tomorrow if that was the cost of settling. But, you know, they could also win $1 billion, $1.5 billion based on some of the analysis we've seen, because of lost revenues, because of, you know, punitive damages potentially being attached to this. And I think what we're going to see, though, Annie, if there's no settlement, and I'm not sure, you know, they seem like they're really far apart on what they would each see as suitable for a settlement. I still think we're years from solving this. I mean, it's probably going to be a 2-month trial, but no matter who loses, I'm sure there's going to be an appeal and it's going to get dragged out. So, I mean, I would say this. We do need to be patient, because I don't think we're going to find out in February or March the end of the story.
Only got about a minute left here. We're speaking with Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports reporter, and I got to ask about the Cardinals manager pursuit. I've seen some interesting names be thrown around. Obviously, the people who are in-house, also including Skip Schumacher. I just saw an article suggesting Carlos Beltran potentially. Mm-hmm. What do you think going forward? Anybody got the hot hand right now?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think that the internal candidates make the most sense based on the reasoning for moving on from Mike Schilt, right? I mean, the organization wants more of a unified vision moving forward, and they thought that he was moving away from that in some way or not amenable to what they want to change moving forward. So bringing up somebody that's already in the system who's already understanding of that probably makes sense. Right. You know, if it's Ollie Marmol, if it's Stubby Clapp, I mean, I think if they agree to it, then they're obviously agreeing to whatever vision the front office has laid out. And if they go outside, Annie, I wouldn't expect it to be one of the big name, like, you know, former managers like Buck Showalter or anybody like that. I would expect it to be someone like Skip Schumacher or Carlos Beltran, who, again, have ties to the organization,
right,
have friendships in the clubhouse, and would make sense on about three or four different levels.
Real quick, I got to ask you this question, too, because we've heard a lot of the Cardinals' discussion about what took place with Mike Schilt was the Cardinals were pushing really hard to be very analytics-driven. Do I have this right that David Price, the $200 million pitcher for the Dodgers, wasn't in the NLCS because the numbers didn't line up in his favor? Is that accurate?
The numbers in what way?
Like the sabermetrics, the matchups.
Absolutely.
Holy smokes.
Well, I mean, you know, he's been hurt and not very effective most of the year.
Yeah.
And then when you break down how the matchups work, I mean, he makes a lot of money, but, you know, that's
just wasn't
not a very good deal for them, no. And I think that, yes, I think they want to lean into some more aggressive usages of the roster via, you know, the analytics realm. But I think people misunderstand, right? I mean, like, analytics are just – it's analyzing what you do. I mean, this is what Dave Duncan and Tony La Russa did their entire time running the Cardinals, except the difference was – they didn't have a department of people that were culling through data. They were just writing things down and going off of what they saw. So I think people kind of misunderstand what that means and assign some negativity to it. But look at the teams that are still going.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amongst the most analytically minded teams out there. So I don't know why that would seem like a bad thing to people.
It's all about money, isn't it? Nobody should be surprised by that at this point in time.
I mean, but I think for people too, it's like, oh, that's a scary term, you know, analytics. What does that mean? It just means looking at things that have happened already and using that as a way of predicting the future. I joke about this all the time, Annie. I mean, all of us that have retirement accounts, do you want your retirement account to be managed by one guy's gut feeling? Or do you want that to be managed by analytics and looking at the market and what it's done historically and what that means for the future? I mean, I'll take choice number two.
Analytics all the way. Kevin Wheeler, thank you so much. Sports Open Line tonight on KMOX. He's going to be covering some of this Rams development. Always good to have you here, Kevin. Happy Friday.
You got it, Annie. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you as well. Stick around. When we come back, Trish is going to join us in studio. Ryan's got today off in a couple days next week, so don't worry. He's still here. We're going to talk a little costumes when we come back. Join us on the live stream. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.